the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this second part in our series on why we are here, Dave looks into fellowship. What is this church word all about? The main reading is Ephesians chapter 4.
Last week we just began to just again remind us why we're here. So often we forget, and I was speaking to a few people yesterday, just wondering, the word flaky comes to mind. And we are living in a world where we have flaky Christians, don't we? And haven't got the root and the foundation right. We just need to know why we are here, why we are apart. Because last week we talked worship. Worship is just being standing in awe of God, loving Him, knowing Him. And that's a lifestyle. It isn't just a little bit on a Sunday. It's a lifestyle, because he says in that word worship can mean service as well. Didn't we talk about those different words? To bow down, to be in awe of respect, to bow, and to serve Him. It's a lifestyle. We are loving. Everything we do is for Him. The command, He said, love God with all our hearts. Oh, I thought it was a word of the Lord. So we started on worship, and that was our first protocol. If we lose that, as we said before, when the house of prayer are gone, dilution, distortion, ultimately deception, that's where it ends up. So that's our first and foremost. We are here to worship the Lord, and of course, if we keep our eyes on Him, then wonderful it is. Tonight we're going to talk with the next pattern. Remember, our pattern is God's word, always God's word, of course. Let's read that to start us off. Acts 2:42-47.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
This, our next purpose, why we're here, our foundation is fellowship. And again, we've misunderstood this. The world has filled into our minds. It's just a club. It's a social club. No, we are family. And, whether you like me or not, eternity, you will be with me. Now, heaven's a big place, you say, Nick. And the word fellowship, again, we need to look at the word, because, again, we can't put our definition in, the definition, biblical definition, and what they understood it was. Something they had, it was a partnership, something in common, sharing in common, communion, common purpose, coming alongside one another. Interesting that the Greek language uses koinonia is the word in Greek. You sometimes used to describe an ideal society where harmony and goodwill reigned. It was what they used to call utopia. I know we've been in church a long time, and sadly it has not been utopic. It's a good word. I don't know if it's a word, but we'll go with it. But you know what? If we come back to the first protocol, worship, if the Lord is our main focus, we can. Because although in myself I can't forgive you and I can't like you, when the love of Christ is in me, I can forgive you. And I can like you. And I can love, well, maybe like you, but I can love you. Example of unity and all that, and people looking for unity. He said, look, they said, if we want 100 pianos tuned, tune them all to one tuning fork, and automatically they are tuned to each other. One accord by being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. Isn't that true? So often we are looking for unity and our eyes are on each other and we strive to get closer instead of keeping our eyes on him. That's how you tune. In orchestra, you call the lead violinist. He gives you a note and you tune to him. You have one to tune, and of course that's a great idea. Keep our eyes on him, we're looking to him, we're listening to him, we're attuned to him. A couple of quotes. Too many church services start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull. Yes, help us, Lord. The world at its worst needs the church at its best. That's true. Many years ago, this is from, I had to look him up, John Dun Scotus. Have you heard of him? No. 800 AD. Was visiting Rome, and the Pope, of course, this was even a lot worse since then, but this was 800 AD. Obviously, Reformation was much, much later. And the Pope took him through the Vatican treasuries. Probably not as much as he got now. I've been there. God, they got some stuff. Running his hands through the silver, the Pope said, "No longer does the church have to say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" The theologian, John Scotus, said, "That's true," he said, "but also no longer can we say, 'In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" And I thought, ooh, bless the Lord. And so we're looking at that, that coming alongside, in partnership, what real fellowship is. Well, of course, again, remember we talked last week, our vertical, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind. That's our first port of call. We are called into fellowship with the Lord. And then it's interesting, when we look at the few verses now, every time he calls us into fellowship, he's talking to fellowship with the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Next minute he says, "Now be in unity with one another." You get that right, and that's going to be a lot better and easier. As we said before, how can I be a better this, that and the other? Well, if my relationship with the Lord is functioning and growing, the fruit of the Spirit. So I can be more patient and kind and helpful, as I always am, of course. So that's a fellowship with the Father and the Son. Let's read a couple of verses there. 1 Corinthians 1, 9 to 10.
"God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak to the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment."
Again, first of all, God is faithful. He's called us. That's our calling, isn't it? What's our calling? To be in fellowship with the Son. That's my first port of call. And if I forget everything else, my first port is to know God, is to be in fellowship, to walk with him, to listen to him. And then, interesting, next verse. Now, come on, no divisions between you. Why? Because I'm in fellowship with the Father. A guy was on a desert island for 25 years. When he was rescued, the rescuers noticed there were three huts. He said, "Oh, been busy, three huts." He said, what are the three huts for?" He said, "Oh, one I lived in." He said, "And one I went to church in." He said, "What was the other hut?" He said, "That's the church I used to go to." and you know what? Some of us can argue with ourselves, can we? Have a bigger argument with ourselves than anyone else. But very careful, isn't it? Very good. Fellowship with the Father. That's our primary goal. And that's, again, when we sit back and think of that, partnership, communion, common, in and of ourselves. We have nothing in common, do we, with the Lord, only that he created us. Our nature is anti-God, but he calls us. And 2 Peter 1, every time I read that, I get stirred and I think, Lord, come on. Partakers, fellowship, same word, with the divine nature. He's implanted himself within us. Amazing. We have fellowship with him. And that's our first port of call. Fellowship, communion, partnership. He comes alongside, of course. Common purpose is to know him and to make him known. 1 John 1, 1 to 7.
"The incarnation of the world, the word of the, sorry, that which was from the beginning, which we hear, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at with it, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of light. The light appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal light which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And the fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare it to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin.
Ah, mighty word. And again, we said John's old man there, and he doesn't pull any punches, does he? Don't say something. If you're living differently to what you say, you're lying. Fellowship with the light. We walk in the light. Can't walk in darkness and the light. And that fellowship with him is transmitted, a fellowship with each other. And the blood of Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. Again, it's a good thing to remember that we're all in the same boat, because none of us can be saved without the blood. And when Jesus looks at you, and he looks at you, and he looks at me, he looks, again, what does he look through? The blood. Hallelujah. And which again, is good sometimes when we can get a little bit tetchy with some people. And as we'll see in a minute, there's a time and a place for correction. Of course, the Bible is very clear that fellowship is to do that. But, you know, sometimes we just got to say, oh, wait a minute now. And see through that that fellowship with him. I've told you before, remember many, many years ago, praying over a certain situation. Get another drink. Saying, Lord, come, I'm up to sort them out. I'm your son, I'm your child. Just a whisper in the spirit. So are they. My child. I'm thinking, okay, right, sorry, Lord. You were right. Yeah. As if I had any bigger claim on Christ than they did. Now, they might have been in the wrong, and if they did something wrong, they probably would have. Because as I said, we're never wrong, are we? But I just love that, because, again, it just settles us down, and we'll see in a moment. So there's where our first fellowship is. Now, we've got to remember who we are in Christ. Wesley said there's no such thing as solitary Christianity, there's no such thing as solitary religion, he said. I like his quote. Of course, we like Wesley, one of our greats. I want the whole Christ for my Saviour. I want the whole Bible for my book. I want the whole church for my fellowship. And I want the whole world for my mission field. And that's how he lived. Bless the Lord. He made an impact as well. So what are we? Well, at first the Bible calls us a body. Well, a body is made up of parts. Individual parts built into a body. They can't function on their own, and they only work together as a unit. We understand that. And of course, if you go into Corinthians, he says, he breaks it down, you know, and I can't say, well, I don't need you. And you know, he's very clear, isn't he? He gets at the basic level to get us to understand. But Romans 12, of course, it starts off again with worship, surrendering, transformation, and then the outworking of our worship is just so practical in Romans 12, from verse 4.
Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, who are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it to the proportion of his faith. If it is serving, let him serve it. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
Very, very practical, isn't it? Very practical. The outworking, and when people say, well, what should I do? What should I be? He tells us, doesn't he? Be devoted. Get into the house of God. Get with the people of God. And if we've been in church long enough, we know when people begin to drift from church, as we'll read in a minute from Proverbs, how their lives tend to drift then. And I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, oh, well, they do believe. Well, they may well believe. That's fine. But they're not functioning. And they're not doing as God asks them to do. And God has got plans and purposes for them to do where we can only do it as a body, isn't it? Many members can accomplish collectively what some members cannot do individually. What does it say? An aeroplane is a machine that consists of 100% non-flying parts. Not interesting. An aeroplane is consisting of 100% of non-flying parts, but put together, and just the very fact of eating, our nose smells it, and if it's prepared for us, doesn't matter what it smells like, does it? We're going to eat it anyway. Our eyes see it, our hands pick it up, our mouths taste it, our teeth chew it. Our swallowing mechanism, which is amazing, the epiglottis, stops it going down the airways and pushes it down the esophagus, and those muscles push it down into the stomach, which digests it, and you know the rest. But it's the whole, just to see that food there, then into the body, and how the body, it's all multiple parts working together that actually brings out what that food is to do, to feed us, to build us up. Just an example of we are a body. We're a body, so we're all part of something. And if you look at the motivational gifts that were just before in that chapter, in seven of them, I think I remember right, four behind the scenes, aren't they? They're not in the front. They're not seen. They are people who encourage, people who give, people who serve. Bless the Lord. We're a body. We're a bride. Bless the Lord, the Bible says. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're a building. And again, a building isn't a brick, is it? No, it's bricks put together, all interconnected, all put together to make the building. He's trying to tell us something. He's trying to make us understand what we are in Christ, and as we are as a community, as a fellowship. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5.
To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
So we have who we are, what we are. Impossible to be a building or a body on our own. We will. If you're a part of the body, you'll die if you're on your own. If you're a building, you'll be of no substance, of no use on your own. Now, that's the Bible tells us that. And the Bible gives us understanding. Proverbs is a great book, isn't it, of relationships, how to relate, and how to listen, how to be wise. And because we are built for relationship, first with the Lord and then with people, then he gives us some great advice. How to build each other up. And of course, the church, what is the church there to? To support, to strengthen, to sharpen, to stimulate, to look over each other's life, to watch over each other. All these things are found in the family, in the community. Let's read a couple of verses from Proverbs. Proverbs 18, verse 1, and Proverbs 13, verse 30 or 20, whichever I've written down.
Man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, he rages against all wise judgment. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed.
Again, it's very clear, isn't it? A man who isolates himself wants to do his own thing. And of course, the more we're in fellowship, hopefully, the less selfish we can become. You know, in your family, when your kids come along, And you can't live as you did before, can you? You can't say, well, I'm going to still carry on doing what I did before with all my hobbies and all this. No, no. Yeah. So God's given us a family just to, again, to give us some insight on what being selfish and what being selfless is. And so we get a picture of that. And it's the same in a fellowship, isn't it? We walk with wise men and wise women to become wise. And that's why he says bad company corrupts good character. Psalm 1, doesn't he? We know it, we should learn it. Blessed is the man who does not walk, does not sit, does not stand in the counsel of the ungodly. And the company is very important. Company that we're committed to. Now we're in the world, aren't we? We work with people who are unsaved, we are living next to an unsaved, we have family unsaved. Now that's not to withdraw from them, but our commitment is in the community of believers. Why? Because we're connected eternally, inextricably connected, and we know that we know they've got people there who are looking out for us, who love us. Oh, should in a minute we'll look at that. Love us, support us, who want us to know him and don't want us to drift away and want us to achieve the potential, the plans of God. So he says, walk with the wise. Don't isolate yourself. And so when we do see people drifting off fellowship, now again, some of us have been in the church, the alarm bells go in our mind. Why? Because we know very clear then. And then it's interesting, he said, they rage against wise counsel. They rage against judgment. If you talk to someone who's been in church and then drift away, you try and, well, depending on where they are on the journey, you try and talk to them. Oh, dear me, it's like talking to that wall sometimes. It is. And God's got to bring them to their knees, of course. That's only the Lord's work. But sometimes, and again, we've been on the journey a long time. I sometimes don't even try. You know, I say, look, we'd like to see you back. And if you try and it's hitting against a brick wall. Why? Because they've isolated themselves to do their own thing. And they rage against wise counsel. But walk with the wise and you will be wise. Again, we understand that. That's what we used to say to our kids. Who are you bothering with? Who's your friends? Because we want to know, because that's where you'll end up, or generally, not always, but generally, because the Bible says bad company, 1 Corinthians 15:33, corrupts good character. Fellowship, so important, and again, not something that we take or leave. Why? Because we are part of each other, and God is very clear, isn't he? Very clear to where we should be. Hebrews 10:19-25.
Titled A Call to Persevere in Faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Thankfully, it's very clear, isn't it? Don't stop meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Again, the context, we know the context of Hebrews. Some were drifting back, wanted to leave Christianity, go back to Judaism. He said, why don't go back? And you're going back because you've isolated yourself from church, thinking you can go back, sneak back into the synagogue. He said, no. Do not stop meeting together. Why? Because you come alongside one another. You encourage one another. That's what fellowship, you come along, you encourage, and you stir, provoke each other to love and good deeds. That's what we should be doing, provoking one another to say, what's happened this week for the Lord with you? You know, what the Lord said to you? Or what have you, you know, said to someone else about the Lord? What have you, stirring one another. Great questions. We talked about Wesley when he set up his classes. And dear me, they used to really get stuck into each other. You know, really open questions. You know, sin this week? How did you deal with it? Have you repented? Have you got yourself right? And some people, we go, ooh, wait a minute now. But, you know, it's amazing. If I'm thinking back over the years, I wonder if we'd done that a little bit more, whether some of those people who drifted off would be here today, because they've gone off into sin, haven't they, some of them? And I wonder, who knows? But we certainly, they were straight, different time, I suppose, different culture, but still very important to stir one another on. That's the biblical principle. He says, consider it, get your mind on it, think about how to stir one another on, to support, to strengthen, of course, sharing with each other is vital, isn't it? How about these verses? John 13, 34, 35.
A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Well, of course, new. It wasn't new in time, was it? Because if you go back to Leviticus 19, you will see that love your neighbour as yourself, back in Leviticus. But of course, new as in unaccustomed and unused, probably. And with a different motive and with a different meaning and with a different measure. Because he says very clearly, love one another, listen to the bit, as I have loved you. So perhaps in the Old Testament, when Leviticus says love one another, maybe they didn't have an idea what that love was, but now they had no excuse, did they? Because he said, love one another as I have loved you. So they had a example before them, demonstration before them. This is how you are to love. And this will be the determining factor. People will know that you're my disciples. And because love is not a feeling, it's a choice, agape love, isn't it? How he chose to love me. Didn't love me because I did things nice to him. Or no, displeased him, made him upset, grieved him many times. Yet he chose to love me. So with us. And again, he picks up the same verse, same principles in his epistle, John, at the end of his life, 1 John 3, 9 to 11.
Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
Again, he's put it out there. He said, if you're not walking righteously, if you're not walking in love, you've got to check yourself. You've got to check if you really are of the Lord, he said. And he's not pussyfooting about, is he? And again, we have in the past, and we've got, as we said right at the beginning, flaky people who've never put their foot down. And when you see, you listen to their talk, and they've never actually put their foot down in a house of God, and they're here, and they're there, it's just sad, because you can see there's something within them, there's potential there, something that they could be used of God, but you know, there's something that they will not, of course. And again, we come back to worship the Lord, denying yourself, taking up your cross and following me. And we read these verses now, and these again, we just read them in Romans, again they come up again, and they challenge us. Philippians 2, 1 to 4.
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Again, some really challenging verses. And we love the next bit, of course. Christ came down, his humiliation, his condescension. We love those verses, but he's telling us the back, your fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is working in us to change us, to help us to look outside. It's not about me anymore, it's about him and how we, and that's where it comes in, where we are our brother's keeper, isn't it? Where we are not to be a stumbling block and all those kind of things that we, oh, this is what I want to do. Well, let me just say again, when we say that, push off, eyes gone. And if it causes anyone else to stumble, well, they are more important than what I want to do, what I think. And all that kind of attitude and thinking, powerful. Elevating someone above ourselves, thinking of others before me. I was listening and I thought, well, that's a great example. And of course, we as Christians, been Christian a long time, and we could say, well, I die daily and I'm living for the Lord. He said, when you have a photograph, a crowd photograph, he said, who do you look at first? Who do you look at first? If you're in that crowd, he said, you look for yourself and you say, well, get rid of that photo, I look terrible in that, or that, I don't mind that photograph because I look pretty good. And as soon as he said that, I thought, very true. The first person we look at in the photograph, and if you were honest, you say, yeah, I'm looking at, where's my hair gone? How many chins have I got left? You know, I'll cut it there. And so true, isn't it? And so he said, don't you lie to me, he said, because you know, when he said that, I thought, well, Lord, that's true. That's a good challenge to us. And but he's very clear, isn't he? Looking unto others, elevating others above yourselves. Why? Because remember that we're all in the same place. It's all of grace, isn't it? We don't deserve anything. We haven't earned anything. It's because God has put his hand upon us. Bless the Lord. So there is that our support, strengthen, stimulate. Now, to scrutinize, look after one another. Hebrews 12 to 15.
Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many.
Make sure that no one misses the grace of God. How do we know if someone misses the grace of God? Just talk to them for a little bit. And see how they talk about people. See if they've still got things and forgiven and dealt with. Because that's what cures bitterness, isn't it? The grace of God. Us receiving. I say, you receive, God's forgiven you, forgive others. They don't deserve it, neither do you. And that's the principle, isn't it? When we miss the grace of God, we then become, we have that sort of entitlement, that rights and fear. They did something wrong, they said something. And because we've missed the grace of God says, look, don't worry about it. The Lord will square it up. The Lord will square it up. And again, if they are the children of God, the Lord will speak to them. And you know, that's his work, isn't it? Our job is to do what he tells us to do. And make sure that none of us miss the grace. Why? Because it's very true. The devil, when he persecutes the church squeezes together, doesn't they? Their fellowship is stronger. Why? Because they've got each other. They've only got each other. They're pulling together. They're looking to the Lord. They need the Lord. And generally, the persecuted church, as we've seen, get stronger and grow. It's very difficult. Some lose their life. We listened to we did nip down. Sorry, it was late. I only had it that day to that North Korean. And, you know, you just wouldn't believe how they live in North Korea. Just when he tells you the stuff, you think, you sure? They have to worship. They pray and worship to the Kim Jong-un. They've got a picture in his house, in their house. In the morning, in the night, they speak to the picture. And they come. People come and inspect the picture. And if it's got dust on it, they're in trouble. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. If you buy a telly, they come in and make sure your telly only has one channel. Like when we started, wasn't it? One channel, which is their channel. And they're so brainwashed that when he came out the first time and he got sent back, which is, again, another miracle how he got out, he was brought in with a missionary. And because they've been told the missionaries brainwash you and traffic you, he ran away from this missionary, and this missionary wanted just to help him. But so we see persecution, but you know, well, the devil works. He knows full well if he can destroy from inside, and most churches have been destroyed from within, not without. And it's missing the grace of God. Bitterness rises up and defiles. So that's why the Bible says, be careful, watch over each other. Watch on, watch on. Just say, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Speaking into people. And I remember Geraldine saying something that she with her son-in-law many years ago, and he wasn't very nice, and she was you know, I don't know what she's going to do to him, I don't know what she could do to him, but she mentioned it to my mum, and mum said you need to forgive. And she said that, I didn't want to hear it, Geraldine said. And I didn't want to do it, but she said, in the back, Holy Spirit said, that's right. True, true. And of course, it is, isn't it? Because your unforgiveness doesn't affect them. Just eats you up and destroys you. So, watch each other, scrutinize. Here's another one, James 5, 13 to 16.
If any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up, and his sins he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
There we are. There's our default, talk about default position, what we should go back to. The natural inclination. In trouble, pray. If you're going well, praise. If there's illness, get the elders in. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. We don't do that very often. We confess our sins to one another. Be careful we confess what you confess, who you confess to. I agree with that. But there's an openness, there's an honesty. Why? Because we're family, aren't we? And sometimes we can think, oh, look at so-and-so, he's brilliant, he's fantastic. And they could be going through some real difficulties, real challenges. And it's good just to say, well, I've been struggling, yeah? I've been struggling with this. Really, the devil's been having a go at me in this particular area. And it's come around and pray. What did Paul say? Pray, come, join in the ministry with me by praying for me, Romans 15. And so when we look at those things, we are looking at blessing one another. How about these? One another. The Bible tells us to be devoted to one another, honour one another, live in harmony with one another, receive one another, serve one another, be kind and compassionate to one another, admonish one another, encourage one another, spur one another on to love and good deeds, offer hospitality to one another, love one another. You get the picture. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's about one another. And then our last verse, which we know very well, Proverbs 27, again 17.
As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend.
I love church because when you know people's background and you see them worshipping and blessing the Lord, it is encouraging, isn't it? Encouraging because you can see, well, I know they're going through some really tough times and they're still praising, they're still faithful, they're still serving. And that sharpens us, that spurs us on, isn't it? Well, if they can do it, I can do it. They've been through that and they're still praising, they're still worshipping and serving the Lord. I came across this and I like this. Perhaps I'll produce it. Especially for us gardeners. Most of us are gardeners, aren't we? But this is for a healthy, fruit-bearing church. Try this plan. Plant 3 rows of squashes. Squash gossip, squash criticism, squash indifference. Plant 7 row of peas. Prayer, promptness, perseverance, politeness, preparedness, purity, patience. Plant 7 heads of lettuce. Let us be unstained. Let us search the scriptures. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us be obedient in all things. Let us be truthful. Let us love one another. And no garden is complete without turnips. Turn up for church. Turn up for meetings in prayer and Bible study. Turn up with a smile, even when things are difficult. Turn up with a determination to do your best in God's service. I thought, I like that. I like that. Bless the Lord. God is good. God is good. And God has created at church for our growth, for our protection, for our provision, isn't he? And we step outside of that and DME. And thankfully, some have been around long enough to see that. And that's good.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.